Thank you for listening to the Keystone Church podcast. For more information about us, you can visit us at mykeystonechurch.com.
Let me ask you a question. Have you any of you ever felt or have you ever said something like, man, I just feel sad today. I feel discouraged. I feel down. I don't know what it is. And then you go through, there's a season of it. Like, I just feel like diminished. I don't feel right when I'm at work. I don't feel right at home. Something's just like, I just feel this way. Anybody ever have that, or is that just me? All right, you feel this. Today, we're going to talk about some fruits that we deal with, and the Lord is going to get to the root of some of the things we've been battling with. I really believe the Lord has, Holy Spirit has a message for us this morning. And we're going to talk about some of the, just the fruits, and then I'm going to talk about the root. We have a really fun clip this morning that Dave, I sent to Dave. He's like, what, probably doesn't like, why are we going to show this? But it's going to be fun. I'm not going to play it yet. But anyway, so we have these feelings. Maybe it's like, I feel sad. I feel discouraged. I'm anxious today. There's social anxiety. I feel this impending doom. I feel lonely, and I just don't know why. I don't know why I feel this way. These are fruits, and we have to get to the root of what's going on with the emotion that I'm feeling. Because most of us live out of the emotions, the immediate emotions that we're feeling. I have this emotion, so I react to this emotion. And then we get this emotion or this feeling or this symptom or this fruit, and we deal with the fruit. We deal with the emotion. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's struggle. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's whatever that we all have in our life, and we're dealing with that, and just seems like I just can't. It won't go away. I keep dealing with this one thing, and it won't go away. It just keeps coming back. It just keeps piling itself on. It just keeps just doing this. And I think I have led us up right to a good spot to play this clip. So we're going to look at television. And we're going to look at I Love Lucy. Anybody ever seen I Love Lucy? You guys know I Love Lucy? My great-grandparents. Actually, okay. I saw. So you guys, anybody not know I Love Lucy? Anybody have a friend named Lucy? You don't know I Love Lucy? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So I'm going to play this clip, and this is going to illustrate pretty well what we're going to get into. So the point of that is there's all these fruits in our life, right? We're doing good. We're doing good at first. And all these things, either it's a sin or it's a feeling or it's something, this thing that I'm handling it well. And I try to keep handling it. And I'm eating the chocolates and I'm shoving them in my hats and wherever I can put it, because this demanding person is going to come back and yell at me. I'm going to be fired and I'm not going to make the cut. So what needed to happen was they needed to go to the root of what was happening and cut it off. Right. So the problem was they were dealing with all this stuff when somebody back in the back just needed to stop it. Right. So I think that's a perfect illustration. That's so good. So today we're going to talk about the root, the spirit, uprooting the spirit of rejection. Rejection is a big one. It's a big one that we're seeing right now in our society. It's a big one we see in people at 7-Eleven. It's the guy that's got he's angry all the time. Like, you think, man, that guy's just angry. He just needs to calm down. Actually, he's suffering from rejection. He's been rejected his whole life, and he doesn't know it. I mean, just think about it. Look at it. Go back in your own life. Go back in some people that you've seen. Like, we're trying to overcome this rejection from people, from things, from traumas in our life, and we're dealing with this, like all the fruits, like the anger and the frustration and the anxiety and all these things, we're dealing with those, but yet we don't realize that what I'm really suffering from is I'm scared of being rejected. we see it in Scripture. It started with Eve. Well, actually, it started with the enemy. Like, the enemy is rejected. Like, he fell from grace, and God kicked him out of heaven. And he's like, I'm rejected, and I'm not going to go down alone. So if I can spread this fear of rejection, I'm going to spread it as much as I can. So it's, you see it in him. We see it in Eve when Eve was like, man, he's like just the love of her life, the Lord God himself. And the enemy comes in and plants these things in the garden and says, yeah, but God is holding out from you. You can have all that you want, but don't do that. Like, there's just this fruit, this thought that it's deception that comes in us and we agree with it. So it's not necessarily the fact that you're not going to be rejected, because we all get rejected, right? Like, we all get it. It's going to happen. It's the agreement. It's how we handle the rejection is what gets us stuck, or we get freedom. So we're going to talk about just some things that some fruits of rejection, but we're also going to talk about, I'm going to give some like keys to uprooting this rejection. We're going to pray at the end. We're going to pray for you, pray for each other, whatever Holy Spirit wants to do. And he's going to uproot the spirit of rejection. When I talk about spirit, it starts with a demonic attack, a plant, a thought, an agreement that you have, like that Eve had. Your lover is holding out on you. There's a part of this, like, and so you take on this lie, and you agree with this lie, and the enemy actually comes in very sneakily. He gives you 99.5% what is true, and he makes it feel like it's true. And that 0.5 or 0.1 or whatever is, so the whole thing is a lie, right? So he comes in very sneaky. So Eve faced that. King Saul faced that. You can see it, like, whenever they the women in the streets saying, King Saul slayed his thousands, but David slayed his 10,000s. And then you see in the next verse that Saul immediately resented David. And so there was this offense. So it starts with an offense. It's an offense with somebody, something somebody said about you, whether it's a parent, whether it's a friend, whether it's a husband, whether it's a wife. And it's something Jesse and I, this things in our marriage that we've had to clean up is offenses. So rejection usually starts with maybe a word, an agreement. It's something that you got offended and you agreed with the offense. And it's not that we won't get offended. It's that I've received the offense. Do you see what I'm saying? Am I speaking clearly? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Okay, because I want to be very, very clear on what we're talking about, because I think this is huge for us in the body, because the Lord says, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted, actually, it really means I have come to heal your shattered soul. I've come to heal your hurting mind, your broken will, the hurting emotions. I've come to heal those things. And you can't repent from a broken soul. You have to heal the broken soul. It says in Psalm 23, even David, King David says, he restores my soul. He restores the soul. He heals our soul. And that's what Daddy does. He restores and he heals the soul. And that's what we're talking about this morning, a restoration of our soul. King Saul saw that, and what happened was, like, these people were praising King David, and he looked, he's like, I've been rejected, and he took upon the offense, and it lasted throughout his whole time. And then at the end of it, what did that produce? It produced actually more rejection. So the thing that he feared the most, rejection, produced rejection, because he feared it, and he lived out of this fear of being rejected by people. Like, I'm not enough. King David's better than I am. He's going to take over the kingdom. And then so he lived out of that spirit, and it became who he was. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're going to deal with, we're going to, we're going to deal with behind the conveyor belt, behind the chocolates that are coming on. We're going to go a little bit deeper. Some of the primary fruits that you see in rejection, one is anxiety, which is not, you know, when you have anxiety, anxiety is actually data. It's saying, I am not secure in God's love and God's faithfulness. I'm not secure where there's a need and I believe God has already provided it. So I'm moving into a place of, especially when we're in transition, it's like, okay, God, you put me in transition. Now I have to figure out how to get myself out of transition. He actually puts you in transition because he trusts you in that transition. God actually trusts you. He trusts you to grow. He trusts you to be light in the middle of the transition. So God actually puts you there because he trusts you and he knows that he is in you and he trusts the deposits that are in you. He's like, my son, my daughter can handle this, not on their own, but through me. So often what we do is we move into in transition. It's like, okay, God put me here. Now I got to figure it out. Now I have to handle it. It's actually the opposite. God put me here. I'm his. My life is not my own. He will handle it. He will show me. And I will know and I'll get the revelation of what he's doing. Maybe not now, but at some point. So if I'm in transition, there's purpose in it. And God's in it. It's not my time to take over. It's my time just to see rest in him, to continue to rest, right? Often we move into, now I have to take over. Now, sometimes we just have to stand and watch the deliverance. Stand and see. This is my battle, says the Lord. This is my battle. I got off on a little thing. Okay, so anxiety, not being secure in God's love. So that's number one. So one primary fruit of rejection is anxiety. Two is anger. So anger is actually, it's like a secondary emotion. Anger is actually, it's usually a fruit of like disappointment or entitlement. I didn't get what I felt like I deserved to have. Anger, that's anger. I'm disappointed. I should have had this, or this happened to me. And sometimes it comes out of grief. It comes out of disappointment. So anger is usually a secondary emotion to another emotion. But anger at others and anger at God. So when you get angry because you have been rejected by somebody, you take on this anger at somebody else's words against you or whatever, and you take on this offense. Now you begin to reject other people, and because you're rejecting other people, they in turn reject you. So it's like this cycle. So like anger, the scriptures actually says, put off anger. Don't just manage it, put it off. Ask Jesus what that means. I know that sounds simplistic, but you get revelation on that. Put off the anger, forgiveness, repentance, knowing that your destiny is not formed or fashioned by the person that didn't hire you, the person that didn't marry you, the person that didn't whatever. They don't have that much power or control over you. Three, another fruit is insecurity or self-pity. Anybody ever heard you say this or somebody else say this? How come nobody texted me, nobody called me, and nobody included me? Dang it. Can I say that in church? Dang it. How come nobody texted me, nobody called me, or nobody included me? People with insecurity or self-pity are afraid of the monster inside, so they often have shallow relationships. So if I'm feeling insecure about the spirit of rejection, I'm not going to go deep with somebody because I'm afraid that if they truly knew how I really am, they wouldn't accept me. Anybody ever have that junk go through your mind? Okay. If you haven't, man, you're doing great. Most of us have battled with this stuff. So just so you know, you're in a room with people who've battled with this stuff. It's just part of like salvation happens. So he renews our spirit. So our spirit is his, totally changed. But our soul, there's things in our soul, our thoughts and our emotions in our subconscious that we still remember from the past. And the enemy, that's where he gets us. He goes in, he's like, do you remember did God really say? And he plants those thoughts and those, so you'll live out of this emotion of a past failure or a past word that somebody else said about you. So you don't take on the identity of who you are in Jesus, and you move forward in power and victory, right? So he tries to get us stuck from here looking backwards to say, I'm inadequate, I'm rejected, I don't have what it takes. And so there's the spirit of abandonment that the enemy tries to deal to get us in. Number four, a fruit, a chocolate that's coming down the line, is denial. So denial is another one. So, and I'm speaking at myself too. Like, this is just stuff that, you know, like if this is coming, this is a spirit of rejection that needs to, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. So it starts with this, like a lie from the enemy. And then when I say spirit of rejection, I'm talking about, yes, there's spiritual warfare, but I'm also talking about a mindset. It's now become an agreement. It's become a stronghold. It's become a mindset. Does that make sense? It's an identity that has snuck in there that we've taken on, and we might not even know that we've taken on, right? So I'm just saying most everybody has this to some sort of degree. So if you're really struggling with this, this is not to shame you. It's actually, we're going to talk about this so that we can get free from it. This is not a shaming message. It's a, hey, that we're all dealing with this. We're all in the same boat. This is one of the enemy's plan, is to take us out through rejection. So denial, this is where we can't be confronted. Like we can't be corrected. We don't take even scriptural or a word from a friend. We won't take it because we think as they come and they if, especially if they're doing it in the right heart and the right spirit, we won't take it because we already know. Like we shut it off because they're pointing out something, and all of a sudden it pushes a button in us, and that button is actually the root. They're pushing on the root of rejection, and it feels painful. It's like I can't go there. So you put up this front of like, I already know, like this knowing, like I already know the answers. I know everything. Like don't correct me. Don't go there. Right. And there's some wisdom in that. Like who you speak with, especially the deep things you're struggling with, there's wisdom in that. But there's also times where there's people that know you that when they speak, they're actually bringing healing, and they're actually in a loving spirit bringing freedom. But if we're struggling with spirit of rejection, we can't take on correction because we're afraid like that's going to add more rejection because it hits something in us. Like, oh, man, it just touched something in me. And then the fifth one is we become obsessed. So there's something like a void, like in our soul that, so we try to fill it with constant approval from people's words, from somebody at work, even our spouses, a friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, something, we just need this constant approval. So we actually become like really anxious, and we just overwhelm people because I need your approval. I need you. I say I love you because I need you to say you love me, right? Like, I love you. Just please say it back. So there's that. And then we try to fill it with words, or it might be stuff. It might be stuff. We try to fill it with stuff, the nicest car, the biggest truck, whatever it may be. We try to fill that void with stuff. Or we try to fill it with people. If I only had this person or whatever. So how do we get to the root? How do we get to the root? And Jessica and I were talking about this a little bit last night. How do we get to the root to uproot this rejection? So first of all, rejection is defined as being wrongly hurt by words, actions, or by neglect. For example, some parents may neglect their children. So the children now believe they need to perform for acceptance because they didn't get it for free. So because it wasn't freely given, now have to work to get it. Amen. We've seen that. We've experienced that. I wasn't freely given by my parents acceptance or approval through an emotional connection. Sometimes it happens, we do as parents not even knowing it. There's no good, perfect parents. We have a good friend that his dad was a pastor, but his dad didn't know how to connect with him. He would always say, well, go see what God has to say. But the young kid was actually wanting connection with his dad, not God at the point. Young kiddos need connection with you first before the trust and the connection to God happens, right? And we've experienced that as well as sometimes as kiddos too. Like, man, I just didn't get connection. So I don't know what it means to be a feminine, godly woman. I don't know what it means to be a man of God. I don't know what it means to live masculine as a man of God. I've never seen it in my life because I was wrongly hurt by words, actions, or neglect. And I'm not trying to give us a victim mentality, because that doesn't help any of us, right? I'm just trying to name it. I'm trying to name it so we can know, like, Jesus is going to wipe this out, because it's not him. He pulls us out of darkness into light, right? So we're going to talk about how to get out of it. So rejection is defined as being wrongly hurt by words, actions, or by neglect. Rejection is a root. So root. Root is a starting point. It's a point of origin. It's the first growth from the seed. Roots are developed before branches and fruits are ever seen. So a lot of times we could have this root of rejection before the fruits ever developed, and we don't know, like, this. I remember one time I was in a men's group, discipleship group, out of my home, and I was just praying over, I think it was just the spirit of lust or whatever, and I hear the Lord say, you think it's lust, but it's actually the men have a spirit of abandonment. They don't feel like they belong. So maybe it's lust of whatever it may be, sexual stuff, whatever it may be, lusts that are not good, not of God. But actually underneath that is a spirit of rejection or abandonment or a need for belonging. So we go to these things because we need belonging. So what can we as the church offer when people walk in our door? Immediately, belonging. Because when they belong, you guys, we don't know what that immediate acceptance and belonging may happen to somebody that just comes in our fellowship that has needed belonging for decades and they don't even know it. But hey, I finally found a place that I belong, right? And that's why I think a lot of our churches are empty, because they go in and they feel immediately not good enough. And they're not a place, it's not a place of belonging and safety for them, right? So let's make this one of the most, like, hey, you belong. We love you with all your junk, with all your stuff. You are welcome in this church. I'm not saying that we diminish or, like we bring truth down here, because Jesus spoke in both grace and in truth. He walked in line both very well. So we have to do both. Grace and in truth. So was I still talking about the fruits? Are we in the solution? That's one of the things about me. I totally get off. Where was I at? I just totally.
You were talking about the roots.
Oh, okay. I was defining root. Yeah. Is that where it was? Okay. Thank you for listening. Man, good. So what is a root? Root is a starting point of origin. It's the first growth of the seed. Roots are developed before branches and fruits are ever seen. You get a star today, David. You get a gold star. You belong. Wow. We just moved somewhere, didn't we? Rejection doesn't have the power to destroy. It's how we respond is the key. The mindset of rejection doesn't have the power over us. Let's move into the overcoming. So how do we get to the root? First, roots feed what they are made of. So if I am an apple tree, I'm going to produce apples. So I feed. So out of a root will come either truth or lie. Right? So what is the root? What is the source of what was just said to me? Right? Is that truth? Is that truth about who my Father is, who I am in Him? Right? And sometimes it's a thought, especially for us guys. Sometimes women, I'm not a woman, so I don't know, but I know for me as a man, and that's probably true for women too, but we'll get this thought and we get condemned by the thought, and all of a sudden we're walking in condemnation because I had this horrible thought. Guys, I'm telling you, if you don't like the thought, it probably tells you that the thought didn't originate from you. So you don't have to be condemned by something that it didn't originate from you. You know, that was not truth. That is not who I am. That's maybe who I used to be, but that's not who I am anymore. That thought can go, and it can actually flip the table on the enemy's head and say, he came after me with a lie and something I failed at in the past. Now I can flip the table on him and create worship. And the enemy doesn't know how to deal with that. I attacked him with a negative, condemning thought, and it turned him into worship. Like, who does that? We are to do that. Like, he comes after me. Okay, now's a chance to worship. So that's one of the actually huge battle plans there. So number one, so first, roots feed what they're made of. So we have to identify with the love of God. It's a mindset. So it's Ephesians 3:17. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So you are rooted in love. You're rooted in love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you know that in that there's like the height, the depth, the width, the breadth? But I don't think it mentions the past in that, because the enemy, that's where he deals with. He tries to use the past to feel like you're separated from the love of God. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. There's a difference between God loving you and the love of God in you. So that's where the enemy comes in, like the past. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So first, we have to identify with love. Second, Jessica and I talked about this. This is from my wife last night as I was prepping last night. It says, we have to realize there was an event. And Jessica, you can help me here too. Feel free to pipe in too. There was an event or a relationship. We call it like a soul tie. So there's a connection with somebody that said something to you, and you can remember it. You can remember the words. You can remember where you were, and you can remember that feeling of rejection. There is, there's something like that doesn't hurt. It's like nothing hurts just as much as like this rejection. Like I just got, man, this feeling of rejection. There's a place in us that, man, that's painful. Like it is really painful and it sticks. And it's like, it almost like creates this like emptiness in us. There's nothing like this rejection. And so I'm telling you, that's one of the enemies. I'm telling you guys, the root is rejection. And it's painful. Being rejected is painful. So you realize an event or a relationship, there was an event, like a traumatic event, where there was a relationship soul tie. So there's this like unhealthy connection. And I'm sorry, I'm going like that. I'm not doing that to you, Catherine. I'm just kind of good. Okay. Yeah. There's an unhealthy soul tie with this person that's me. No. So it needs that. It needs to be cut off. Like you cut it off in the spirit. You don't overcome. You don't try to out, like, I got to work on that emotion. I got to appease that person. I got to appease their expectations on me. Because what that does is it actually creates more work in your life. And you begin to, actually, you're trying to appease an oppressor. Right? So this person has offended me. man, now I got to be better so I can please that person. It's stupid. I don't know the word to use here, but it's lifeless. It's work. Yeah, help me, cause. Yes.
It just
feels like it takes and never, yeah. It's you're appeasing somebody else's expectations they put on you by your actions. Man, I know people, I have relatives that are in their 60s that are still trying to appease their dad. Their dad who was an empty cup. And they're trying to drink out of an empty cup and trying to please him. And it's like, you can't. And I'm not diminishing or being, I mean, there's just some people in this world that there's holy people, redeemed people, there are foolish people the Bible talks about. And the Bible actually talks about there are actually evil people. They're not unredeemable. I'm not saying that. But the spot that they're in, the words they say and the actions they say are actually evil. And so you can't agree with those words. Not that you can't minister to and love that person. I'm saying that because we're to love our enemies. But you can't take upon their identity. You can't take upon their words to define you. That's what I'm saying. You have to stop drinking out of that empty cup. Because Jesus says, I'll offer you a cup of water. And you can drink the living water that I give you if you would just ask me. I will give you a cup of water. Jessica, did you have more to add on that? Like, realize there's an event or relationship or a soul tie.
I
miss? Yeah, so, and I think I know where you're headed, maybe. But before there's a root, there was actually a seed. You don't actually have to know where the seed started. Like, I don't actually have to know who did it or what did it. All I have to know is, like, sometimes we like, man, if I knew where it came from, I could just deal with it. Sometimes we just have to know what it is. You don't have to know necessarily the seed, that the exact source. Of exactly where it started from. Just know, like, this happened, and this is what I agreed with. And that's, and you just cut it off in Jesus' name. That's not who I am.
So I have a good example, because, so before our trip, I've been traveling for the last 3.5 weeks or so, and the first part of the trip was a conference, and I was going to speak with our team, and before leaving, I had this anxiety about what I was going to wear because I've gained weight and all my clothes fit this season. And there was another situation, and I was like, okay, I've got some anxiety around this. more so, I already belong. I belong to the one who loves me. I am his beloved. Like, I belong to Jesus. I'm in the kingdom. Done deal. Now I got to find something comfortable to wear. Like, but the anxiety just was gone in an instant. It like a vapor that just disappeared. And that's the hope and the promise of, you know, like Keith said, we aren't going to be free from rejection our whole life, but we are free from the effects of rejection through the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Another part of that, the realization of the event. Thanks, babe. Appreciate that. Good word. Can I have your number? is the forgiveness piece.
Yeah.
Is the forgiveness of the person. To go back to, because usually there's an offense that you took on unknowingly or knowingly. But the forgiveness of the offense actually sets you free. And it does something like we maintain in our body unforgiveness. It manifests in our body. So when things are said or done that are not of God about you, the offer of offense will come. And so the freedom comes when you say, Jesus, here's my thoughts about that, but your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Will you interpret that thought that I'm having? So I give it to you. You give me your thoughts on it, right? So we have our thoughts on it, but his thoughts are different. So I've often heard that verse is like, his thoughts are not your thoughts. It's actually a life-giving verse.
Yeah.
His thoughts aren't your thoughts. His thoughts are better or higher than yours. So he can actually give you his perspective, which will bring life. So when it happens, God, there's my thoughts. Will you take this thought? Will you take this offense? Will you take this pain and give me your perspective on it? The next thing you know, you look like this.
Right, you look like this. Right. So the example of
Jesus. Offense comes. I'm not going to hold on to the offense. I'm not going to hold on to the offense. And usually the freedom comes when it's said or done, you pause because the emotion comes. And there's that moment of pause to say, I'm going to agree with it, or I'm going to, Lord, you interpret this, because I'm having a strong emotion right now towards this. So it's usually this knowing right now it's time to pause and get God's heart on this, because my emotions are taking over, right? And so we move into, now I'm on a snowball thing with my emotions. So pause when it hits you. Pause, Lord. What are you? It's your interpretation of this. All right. Thirdly, you've been. So the first one is, know that you are rooted and grounded in love. So you identify with love. Two, you realize an event, relationship. You cut off the offense through forgiveness, and sometimes you have to reinterpret or reframe that event. Also, you have to reframe it. Jesus, where were you in that event? What were you doing? What were you saying? So you can reinterpret and reframe that event or memory. And I could get off on a sidetrack there, so I'm going to keep going for time's sake. Three, we got to know that we've been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. So we go back not just to our birth, not just he accepted me when I was born, not that he just accepted me when I agreed with his salvation through his crucified crucifixion and being raised again. Not just there, but we go actually back. He chose me in him before all of that, before I was even born. So I've been accepted, not just at my birth, but I've been accepted from the foundation of the world in him, because he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4. And then fourthly, Acts 26:17. It's interesting. Jesus shows up to Paul and he tells Paul, he says, I'm going to deliver you. He says, Paul, he tells Paul he will deliver him from the Gentiles so he can send him back to the Gentiles. Isn't that interesting? So Acts 26:17 is that verse. Paul, I'm going to deliver you from the Gentiles so I can send you back to the Gentiles. So he actually delivers us from people's, from the need of approval and getting our identity from people so that we can actually, in return, love people. Because if I'm consistently needing your approval, I'm not able to love you because I need you. Does that make sense? So if I'm free from what you have to say about me, I'm free to love you despite what you say because I'm already secure in him. Okay, so that's a place that we can get to because it's possible through Jesus because we're fully accepted in him. So I can wake up today not needing you to accept me because I'm already grounded and rooted in love and I'm fully accepted. Not to say that words don't hurt or we're not offered offense, but I don't have to take that on. I pause and go back. Pause. My emotions are doing this, but the truth is this. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can't offend me, so I'm free just to be loved to you. And Jesus shows up in that time and time again. Some of the most offensive people I've ever met are homeless people. They're the most negative, mean people. And if you go to them and you minister to them, they'll have all kinds of things to say. And if you take it on, you won't be able to love them. You just get mad and you get frustrated. Some of the meanest people are the people you live with. Some of the meanest people are your relatives. Christmas time. And you're like, I hate being around them because I hate what they bring into the room. But man, there's a way that we can actually overcome where we actually can be loved because they can't tear us down by their words anymore because we're secure in who we are in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, five. We choose which root we're going to agree with. Are we going to agree with the root of rejection? Are we going to agree with the root of adoption? Adoption, when in the natural, when you've been adopted, you can't be unadopted. It's not legal. Legally, if I adopt a kid, I cannot unadopt him anymore. It's a binding legal thing. That's the same thing with the Lord. He has adopted us, so we have to agree with that root. Sixth, here's where it really hits. So it goes from the mindset into now we're talking about a behavior. What can we actually do to overcome this root or spirit or mindset of rejection? And this part for me is very powerful, and it's something I'm continually walking out. It's not like I've got it, but I'm continually to walk this out. So it's actually we go after our calling. So how do I overcome this rejection? You actually step into your calling. Calling is different than your job. Calling is an internal connection that God trusts me in the situation where I'm at right now. So my calling might be that I'm going today at work, I'm going to show generosity, I'm going to show gentleness, and I'm going to show kindness. Actually, generosity shows us opportunities to bring the kingdom. And kindness is a mechanism where we can just be brave. Like, I'm going to just be brave in a situation when I don't feel like showing kindness, but I'm going to show kindness despite how I feel. So go after your calling. And I don't know what my calling is. Forget about the fivefold ministry for now. Just start with generosity, gentleness, and kindness, and look for opportunities to do those three things. So the solution is go after your calling. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand so that we would walk in them." And Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet were none of them." So, and then actually the next verse says, "How vast are my thoughts," or "your thoughts, and they're as vast as the sand." And it, Bible translations say how thoughts are like my thoughts to you, God, are as, you know, as many as the numbers of sand. But I actually think the transition that got it right, actually it says how fast are his thoughts towards me, because we are actually a thought of God. in before the foundation of the world, we were a thought of his, a good thought of his. So go after your calling. He's giving you permission. He's giving you permission to go after your calling. What the enemy is trying to do is say, no, you're disqualified. You've done this. Yes, repentance may be needed. Yes, you may need to confess. Yes, all those things, some things that may need to be cleaned out. But the thing is, you've got to step into going after your calling or you remain stuck. You get stuck in life because life has got to be more than just praying a prayer to get to heaven. It's bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So go after your calling. That's something that you can do. And your calling actually robs the attention and the power of the lies in your life. So when you're walking in your calling, it actually just cuts down those lies because you know this is what I'm created to do. I'm bringing God trust me, which is weird because I've always thought, no, God can't trust me because my heart is evil. No, he gave me a new heart. I have a noble heart. He gave me a good heart. So he trusts himself in me. So I can move because he's given me permission. So some of us, we just have to stop and begin to move because we're like, do I have permission to do that? Stop asking the question. Yes, you do have the permission. Take a chance. Fail. Because your failure will actually get you from here to here. You think it's failure, but it's actually going to bring you here to here. So if you're in a spot right now in your transition, I'm failing miserably, sweet. Because it's going to bring you that transition from here to here because he knows what's here and you don't. All you see is this. He's taking you here and you're right here. So know that this is coming because he's already been there with you. He knows the end from the beginning. All right, so...